envisioned this a while ago. It's been a few months. And as I was trying to put it together and write notes and get the music and all of that stuff, it just wasn't coming. I called him several times this week, and I'm like, it's just not coming together. I don't know what it is. And as soon as I got out of my head and just let it flow, I had it all together within about an hour. So if anybody's mastered that, we'd like you to teach us how to do that, because it's a lesson. Oh, my goodness. So I have not asked permission, but what I did this week is I went back to February 6th when Terry and Linda and Dawn shared. It's been on my heart for a while. I'm sorry. I'm going to try not to cry, too. So we wanted to do things a little different this morning, and I'll explain what I had kind of envisioned as I go. But the last time I shared, I was able to share a little bit of my testimony, was able to share a little bit of what I had struggled with over the last few years. There have been times since then that I've continued to struggle, like all of you have, I'm sure. And I've questioned, why, God? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why am I struggling? Why are my kids struggling? And then there's been times where I've wondered, what am I missing? What am I missing in all of this? What is the lesson? And for a while, I have felt discontentment, not with God, but with my own personal walk. Just that there could be so much more. Again, what am I missing? What am I not getting? And sometimes just kind of feeling stagnant. Have you ever felt stagnant in your walk? Just things aren't moving, you're just kind of there, things aren't happening, you get frustrated. So as I've been kind of pondering this, and I've been listening to past messages, I've been listening to other messages from other ministries, streaming live services, meditating, praying, listening to music, that's what really speaks to me. I was often brought back to that service when all of you shared. I went through and I kind of transcribed all the important parts. So I challenge you to go back and listen if you think I'm misstating anything. And if I do, please correct me. But I took some things out of there. Terry encouraged us to come to God with a childlike faith. Have we gotten back to that point yet, where we're coming to him with a childlike faith? I don't want to jump too far ahead, but she also encouraged the adults to become more involved with the children's ministry. Linda and Dawn then were able to share a word and revelation that they had, not just for the children's ministry, I believe it was for the entire church. And sometimes it's important to go back and revisit some of these things, to refresh it in your memory, challenge yourself. Are you doing those things? Are you doing what God has placed in front of you to meet what he wants you to do? So like I said, again, I went back and I listened to it and I listened to it and I was jotting some notes and decided that just kind of transcribing the thing was a little easier. So I wanted to pull some things out. Terry related Jesus Christ as a superhero, our own personal superhero. And my little guy, if you saw him last week, had his little Superman or Spider-Man outfit on last week. So I can relate very well to that. But she pointed out others in the world who don't know Jesus yet as their Savior can look at us and think our faith in Jesus Christ, our superhero, is silly, and that we're just not living in the real world, because she equated her dislike of superhero movies to that, Doug's love and her hate. They might think we're simply out of touch with reality. So, our superhero, Jesus Christ, may not wear a mask or a cape or have a cool-looking costume, but our superhero really has saved the world. He has battled sin, death and the power of Satan, and he won that battle for you and me with his death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection. And then the second thing, and this is where that childlike faith came out. She said, as adults, we can oftentimes lose sight of that childlike faith that once lived inside of us because of our life experiences, struggles, sorrows, and other things we have dealt with in this fallen world. We can become detached from that childlike faith. God doesn't care how old you are. He wants us as adults to have a childlike faith. A childlike faith is simple. It doesn't doubt. It doesn't question. It simply believes and trusts in Jesus Christ. And she said that the children here, which this message was geared towards the children, towards our children's ministry, they have something to teach us. And when I kind of envisioned all of this, what I saw was a Sunday morning like this, where we could have the kids in service with us. I had just a few things I wanted to share. But then I wanted to go into a time of just praise and worship. Just a time where they can enter in with us as adults. We can show them that example of worshiping with us, letting the Spirit touch their lives and touch their hearts. So I want to watch my time just a little bit. So, and she kind of ended. So as adults, let's take advantage of the incredible blessing that God has given us with this children's ministry. Let's expose ourselves to their childlike faith. So I like that. I liked it. And then Linda and Dawn shared. This was the word that Linda shared. The Holy Spirit is breathing new life into Harvester's Church. And then speaking to the kids, the word that the Holy Spirit has begun in you is miraculous. Childlike worship will silence or muzzle the madness of those who oppose God. That's how powerful their songs are. Our children's singing builds a stronghold, a fortified place, a fortress against the enemy, and strength rises up from the chorus of our babies. Our children are God's treasures, and he's raising them up in this hour. And the children will be a voice for the Lord in the days ahead. He wants the children to come to him, and we are never to interfere when they want to come. He is calling all of us to become like these little ones. We are all God's children, and he desires us all to be the greatest in heaven's kingdom. Let us ask for the grace we need to change our way of thinking and to become teachable like a child, so we may enter his kingdom realm. The Lord is raising up our children in this, the kingdom age, to touch the world with ordained praise and worship, and to work beside us in the harvest field. He's calling us to observe and to learn from the children, and the children are called to turn to the adults and learn from them. He's preparing us to host the harvest while we learn to host his presence. And that's what I'd like to do this morning. But this is not our work. It is our God. It is God's work in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then what Dawn saw, the revelation that she received. She said they pray in the Spirit first when they meet for intercessory prayer because they don't want what they're thinking. They want God's Spirit. That's how we should all be. But what she saw was smoldering embers on the chairs in the church here. And it was like hot pockets. There were smoldering embers and hot pockets to be reignited. It needed to be reignited. The Spirit was fanning the flames, but it wasn't there yet. And this was back at the end of November. These flames would be working in each and every person's spirit, as the Lord showed us after something else that she shared. Every flame was to be reignited, and every pocket, every person, and every chair. The embers smoldering are remains of a fire. Where did this fire come from? Anybody remember? Besides Dawn? The fire is from previous revivals in this church. God is working in each and every one of you. We must trust his timing. Even in interruptions and distractions, God is not moved. He's not worried about it, so we shouldn't be either. And then the week before, you had pointed out, Don, the week before that they had shared, Jimmy Muskrat was here. And there was such a stirring. It was so powerful. I don't think I had seen anything like that in this building in a while. I don't think I had felt anything like that for a while. So that was very important. And she pointed out that that could be a new beginning, a new movement. And we don't want to lose sight of that. And that's what I've struggled with, is where are we going? Where are we at? What's next? So although I didn't have the same revelation, I have been feeling that for a while. I have been feeling like something big is going to happen. Something is going to let loose. I don't know when, I don't know how, maybe it's this morning, maybe it's 2 weeks from now, I don't know. But I have been feeling that same thing. In my discontentment and longing for the past, I was thinking back and remembering our Praise and New Wine services. Some of you may not remember those, some of you may not be familiar with those at all, but we would meet, I think it was on a Friday night, I don't know if it was once a month or I don't remember the schedule, but anyway, powerful services, regardless. And I remembered, as I was thinking about that, you know, songs would come into my head, and, you know, I'd just start singing these songs that we would use during that time. And my spirit was stirring as I thought about those times where we spent, adults and children alike, adults, teens, and kids, just basking in his presence, singing the songs, praising, crying, laughing, people up here on their faces, seeking God's face to touch their life, to touch their circumstances. And that's what I'm missing. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm missing. And I don't need all of you to join me in that. But why couldn't we do it all together? Why couldn't we join together, be that body that he's called us to be? So the stirring that I've been feeling as well, it's almost like an electric current. How sometimes you can hear it outside when it's really cold. You can hear that electric current moving through the lines. And I believe we are going to see and feel that more and more as we continue to seek God's face and listen to his guidance. I believe we are on the cusp of something amazing, something new, but amazing. The time is now. God is doing something amazing if we get out of the way and let him have his way in our lives, in our homes, in our relationships, and in the services. It's not going to be a hype. It's not a hype. It's going to be a true return to that true place of worship, that true relationship that we have with him. So like I said, this has been on my heart for a while. I envisioned doing this on a Sunday morning when the kids could be in service. I had actually started putting something else together. This was not it, so this is a very simplified version and a little different. But I saw the rest of the time being just being spending time in God's presence. Praise and worship. It turned out to be more worship songs, but really coming back to the heart of worship, seeking his face, praying for that fire to fall. So, I gotta make sure I hit everything. So, I saw this time being spent as a time of healing, laughing if you need to, crying if you need to, spending time up here at the altar if you need to, spending time with your family, worshiping. Whatever you feel you need to do to worship. That's what I saw this morning as. You can use it as a time of recommitment, a time to just bask in his presence, but I want us to let the Holy Spirit come in and take over and just flow over us. And the kids, I want you guys to participate too. So there is nothing wrong with raising your hands or praying, as one of my kids is shaking her head no. You can do it quietly. You don't have to be up here. I do want to encourage you, though, if you don't know the words, I tried to pick songs that were repetitious. You know, we didn't need a whole lot of words. Wasn't quite successful. But if you don't know the words, I would encourage you, don't just stare at the screen and read the words. I would encourage you just to close your eyes and just let the music just kind of wash over you. Let the Spirit take over and take control. And then when you can, if you can, join in. And if you can't, that's okay too, because taking that time to just bask in the music and listen, that's helpful as well. So I just want to end with a quick prayer as we go into this time, and then we'll go into praise and worship. And then I think at the end, I think we'll have Doug come up and share his testimony, which we're all excited to hear because it's been alluded to several times. All right, so if you'll join me. Father, I thank you for the time you've given us to come together. I ask that you touch our bodies during this time of worship, heal those of us that aren't feeling well, touch our minds and quiet our thoughts. Allow us to focus on you. Holy Spirit, we continue to welcome you in our midst this morning. Reignite those embers. Blow through here like a mighty rushing wind and fan the flames of revival. We want to see you this morning, God.
Amen. Amen. Something to praise about. Amen. To worship. Oh, Father. Powerful times. Amen. God is good. But also I want to, Doug is going to come up here just a flash here. After Doug is done sharing how he wants to bring about what he wants to share, but we want to go out and also speak a blessing and pray for the trailer and just and kind of just set it off with, you know, the anointing. We've had the anointing here today. Let that trailer go down the highway singing, anointing. You know, he'll be driving that trailer back to be going, anointing. He'll be like, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. But we want to do that and see that come about. Amen. So, Doug, if you want to go and come on up and maybe share what you want and then close us in prayer here, and then we'll go from here out to the...
Well, it has been a whirlwind of a week. Last week I met with a friend of the ministry and we had lunch, and right at the end I was sitting with my wife, and right at the end of our lunch a trailer went by, and I said to my wife, and it was just a box trailer. And so we're sitting there at dinner, and I see this trailer go by. It was just a box trailer. I said, you know, that wouldn't be a bad trailer. And the person we were sitting with goes, you still don't have a trailer? I said, no. I said, you know, so I saw that one, and I explained to her. I said, yeah, you know, I bought this trailer or this RV last year for $700, and I was going to fix it up and everything. And then I started to patch the roof, and it rained even more. And I said, I'm just done with it. I said, I can't keep putting money into this thing that has a full shower now everywhere it is. If it rains, it's wonderful, but the smell is horrible now. It's got that musty, it smells like, you know, the old pop-up campers, and they had that smell. It's got that smell now, and I'm like, it's not coming out. It's there to stay. And so she goes, well, you know, we're celebrating Sukkot right now. And if you don't know Sukkot, Sukkot is the Festival of Tabernacles in Jewish tradition. And it's to celebrate that when they packed up and left Egypt, they lived in their tabernacles, their tents, for a period of time. And so now every year the Jewish people will celebrate that. She goes, wouldn't it be fitting if you got a tabernacle during this time, a place to stay while you're on the road? And I thought, well, yeah, it would be, you know, whatever. But she didn't say, yeah, I'm going to do this or anything. I said, okay. So we left. And then last week she said, hey, can you come over on Wednesday and meet with us? And meet with me. I said, yeah. So we went over, and she says, you know what? I want to bless you with a camper. And I said, okay. like, all right. And we had talked a little bit, and I said, okay. So I started looking. She goes, go look at used ones and everything like that, and, you know, get a price tag. So I started looking at used ones, and I went over to her house again with my wife, and we were sitting there talking, and they said, okay, we're going to go get lunch. You sit here and make some phone calls and whatever. So I had already called the one company that I had already talked to about a trailer earlier in the year, because I know nothing about them, and I'm like, okay, I don't even know what I'm starting at. So the salesperson that I worked with had quit at some point, or is no longer with them. I don't know what happened. And so this is just a weird side thing. You know, you got to have discernment at all times. And as I started talking to the people, I started picking up on lies and deception coming through from them as a salesperson. And I said, no, I had asked, I said, well, do you have used ones? Oh, no, we don't have any used ones. We only have brand new. Well, when I got on the website, I could see they had plenty of used ones and they didn't want to sell me used ones. And so some spidey senses started going off, you know, and you're like, not so sure. So then all of a sudden I get this weird text message from them about an appointment that I made with them on Friday at 2, which I never made an appointment for Friday at 2. And they started telling me I did. And I said, no, I know this game. This is a sneaky game. I've got a degree in marketing. I understand the bad side and the good side of sales. So I said, uh-uh, I'm not playing this game. And so I got back on the phone and I called up to Cunis, who is a Christian RV dealership. And I said, hey, here's the deal. I said, this person is giving me a budget of this much. Do you have anything? He goes, well, what's your budget? And I said, this is where you're going to laugh. I said, it's about $10,000, you know, whatever. He says, no, we have nothing. And I said, okay. He goes, but we have a brand new trailer that is only $14,000 or $12,000. And, you know, with tax and everything like that. And I said, okay. That's a lot more than what this person said. So I went back to the person and I said, here's the deal. They don't have anything in that limit. I started looking at some other ones. I found a used one. The used one came on the market right by our house. And I said, okay, but it was 4,000 pounds. I can only carry 5,000. So you start to play with this weird thing that I'm learning about with weight and pulling trailers and not wanting to go off a mountain. And so I went back and I called my cousin. I said, hey, what do you think? Is this okay? And he says, yeah, you should be okay. I went back to like communicate with the person and she changed her profile picture to a devil. And I thought, no. I don't need extra friends riding with me on this trip. We don't need any spiritual buddies that I don't want, you know. And I said, no. Okay, we got to be careful of that stuff. So the friend is sitting there. She goes, well, what did you find? I said, all I have is this one right here. And it's brand new. She goes, well, why wouldn't you go with that one? I said, because it's over the price that you gave me, and I want to respect what you said. Okay, but why wouldn't you go with a new one? The price is so good, because the price was $23,000 at the beginning of the year, and now it had dropped way down. Because what I didn't know is if you buy a trailer at this time of year, they're trying to get them off the lot so that the new ones can come in. Yeah, I didn't know that game. So all of a sudden, the next thing I know, she says, all right, well, let's give him a call. So I give the guy a call. He calls me back. He says, yes, we had 8 of these trailers at the beginning of the month or at the beginning of the week. We are down to 1 left. I said, okay, I guess we'll take it. And like, this whole thing is happening so quick that I don't even understand the words that are coming out of my own mouth. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to take it. He goes, okay. He calls me back like 10 minutes later, Doug, that one's gone. I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, and it was funny because the person is like really getting frustrated now, and I said, no, God will take care of it, don't worry. So we left. I said, we'll pray about it. He's going to call me back later. We'll figure something out. We're leaving. He calls me up. He says, hey, Doug. I said, yes, I found one more in our area, but it's been through hail, and it's all dented up. I said, that's fine with me. I'm okay with it. It's still new, right? Yeah, it's still new. It's just got some dings on it. I said, oh, I watched Mythbusters. That makes it more aerodynamic. So I said, now, we can come down in price on it then, too, right? He says, oh, yeah, we can negotiate. I said, okay, cool. So I'm there. I get home that night. He calls me back again. He says, Doug, we got a little bit of a problem, but it's a good problem. I said, what's the problem? We found one more brand new, no damage, nothing, and it's ready to go. I'm having it shipped up to our Oregon place so you can have it. And so that was on, like, Thursday into Friday. On Friday, they brought it up to Oregon. They cleaned it out. They do all this pre-stuff that they do to it. Got it all ready for me. Yesterday, we went. We picked it up, and it's sitting out there now, ready to go for our Trail of Tears ride. So it is awesome. I don't think it's still set in. Like, everything has been boom, 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 and I'm just like, I was in the middle of cutting down a tree when she called and said, yeah, we're going to go with this. And I called Pastor Tim. I'm like, you're not going to believe this. And he's like, wow. And I said, yeah, but even then, I don't think it really, like, set in. So I'm still processing the fact that this thing is sitting out there. And then what was interesting is there's some things that I have to do with my vehicle now that I actually have a trailer, like add a braking system that it's all wired for it and everything, but I have to put it in. And so I'm like, man, this is really cutting it close now. Well, Jimmy called me yesterday and he goes, hey, Doug, we're going to have to bump back a day or two and leave more towards the end of the week. I said, oh, my goodness, thank you, because now that this has happened so quickly, I actually need some prep time. I'm very happy with that also, you know, so it's like, okay, cool. So now we're going to have time. There's already a section. There's a table area. So what we're going to do is take the table can be removed, and I'm going to put in a desk-type board there that can also be removed if we go somewhere with the family. But then I can put up my computer monitors there, and then at night I'll be able to sit down and start editing video the day of rather than coming back here and then, you know, going, oh, my goodness, look at 80 hours of video or whatever. So it's going to be neat the way it's going to work out. And the way this one is designed is it'll be easy to pull the table out, put in the desk type area and everything like that. So it's just awesome to see what God can do, you know. And I told my dad, because my dad's been, he works with trailers down in Florida, but he works with a different style. They're like horse trailers and stuff like that. And I said, well, and actually those would be great, except for their price tag starts at like $100,000. They're these crazy expensive trailers that the equestrian people think they need to have to go with their really nice boots or something. I don't know. But I'm looking at it and I go, those would be nice. And I said, the one thing though is I wish God would just quit waiting till the last minute. If he wants to give it a few weeks out, that would be fine. But he doesn't, like, and this has been my whole time in ministry, has always been, oh, last second, here, let me bless you. Literally, I went to Africa. I think I was telling Pastor Tim, I went to Africa one time, and I didn't have my passport the week that I was leaving. Like, that's how close, and then the passport came, the money came, the airplane ticket came, and the next thing I knew, I was in Africa for 3 days before I realized, oh my goodness, I'm in Africa for the first time. You know, I was like, it just, again, it happens so quick that you don't even have time to enjoy it until you sit down and go, oh. You know, so it's just been awesome to see what God's doing. I'm so thankful for you guys. Like, I was excited to come and share this with you guys because you've been such a big support. And, you know, to call Pastor Tim, I think he was almost more excited about it than I was. And that's so encouraging. Like, it's so encouraging to have people that are that excited about something that I'm doing, you know, and to feel that energy and not this spooky, stupid energy, but like that support, you know, that you got to be careful when you say something about energy. Some people, oh, he said energy. No, I don't mean supernatural type stuff like that. Just the real energy of what it comes from when people are there and are praying for you and they're supporting you and you know that somebody is excited or hurts with you when you hurt or, you know, all those different things. To know that that's there, compassion and all those things are so important in the body. And, you know, to have that here, it's just so much incredible. So thank you so much for all your prayers, your support. It's crazy. We're going to be heading out here in the next week, and now we've got a little trailer that doesn't take me off the road so far. I drove it back from Madison yesterday, and I stayed on the road the whole time, so that was good. So, yeah, just awesome. And so thank you. I just wanted to touch on what you said today. You know, and the words that were referenced as far as what Don had said is this prophecy about things happening in the church. The one thing about prophecy doesn't come to fulfillment unless the people act on it, right? That's the one thing. Prophecy's great, and I've seen a lot of people get prophetic words, and then they go, but God never did it, and it's like, well, you never stepped out onto the thing that God was calling you to step out onto. Oh, God said I was going to be a great actress. Well, did you ever go apply for an acting job? Well, no. Okay, how are you ever going to be a great actress if you don't apply for an acting job, right? Same thing goes with something like this. God says, hey, a revival's coming to church. Cool, when are you going to start bringing people to church that need to come for a revival so that the revival can start? Because to be somewhat fair, we probably, most of us sitting here, don't really need a revival. We're probably doing pretty good, right? It's the other people that are coming in that they're the ones who need to see it. Revival is not necessarily for the believer. It's for the unbeliever. It's kind of like when you get into speaking in tongues and the gifts of prophecy and things like that. It's not always for the believer. Sometimes it's for the unbeliever. And so we can all be on fire here, right? But if I have a fire and I keep it in a little cup, it doesn't do any good. It's kind of like we were talking to coals on the seats. Yeah, that's great. There can be a fire here, but if the one next door doesn't catch a flame, it's not going to go. So something has to happen where we start going, okay, if we want this revival, we got to start bringing people in. We got to start going out of our way, asking God to set up an encounter with somebody who needs a church. Oh, that means you got to talk to people, right? It means you got to go out of that little comfort zone and actually talk to people and say, hey, something's going to happen at our church. Maybe you don't even want to say that. You just want to say, hey, there's a church, come, and, you know, however you word it, get people into church. But even I'm sitting there going, this is great. If a revival's coming, we need to start inviting people as if revival is coming, because otherwise it just stays contained and it doesn't grow. So that's something that needs to be in people's minds when you're praying during the week. Say, God, who can I invite to church this week? God, who can I start, even if it's just start ministering to? Maybe you don't want me to invite them right now, but I just need to start building that bridge so that when something does happen, but start thinking, what do they call that? They would say, I have target friends, right? And there's a way you do this in ministry where you say, I have target friends. You write down three people, and they become your targets. And you say, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to ask them if they need anything. I'm going to do whatever I can to be there for them and show the love of Christ so that they might find a relationship with him. And so that's just something to think about. Who can be your targets of the people that you go, yeah, this is somebody who I think needs to hear from God. And God will tell you who they are too. So you don't even have to worry about it. But, all right. Whew, 12:15. What time is that game? What time's the game? 7? Oh, we got 5 more hours, Pastor. All right. Dear God, we thank you for everything that happened here today. We thank you for the young people, that they are the next generation to raise up, God. And we pray that you will speak to them and protect them while they are at school from things that are not of you. That you will build up defenses and give them teachers, even at school, who are like-minded in Christ and will speak into their lives, even if they can't legally do it blatantly, that they will find ways to minister to each other. God, we just pray that you will continue a move in this church, that you will challenge each and every one of us and help us come to a place where we can find people that need to come hear your word, hear your message, to find your hope. God, so many people are hurting right now, and we need to be able to go out and share the hope of Jesus Christ with them. God, and only you through your Holy Spirit can help us do that in a way that is so effective that even the coldest person can turn hot for Jesus Christ. God, we pray that you will move in our hearts, move in our minds, and lead us in a way that just surprises even us when we open our mouths to talk. Shock us. And God, we thank you for all the incredible things that you have done in each of our lives this week, God. And I pray that none of us take it for granted, that we serve a God who can provide every need in the right time. Thank you, God, for who you are, for what you do, and what you are yet to do. In Jesus' name, amen.